In this video, I'll demonstrate an implementation of the predictive fetch pattern for AJAX. One of the interesting things about the predictive fetch pattern for AJAX is it becomes a component in a collection of different composite patterns for AJAX-style programming. The basic idea behind predictive fetch is that based on the user interface and the current state of the user's interaction with that interface, we will, on a best efforts basis, guess which set of content needs to be retrieved from the server next, and we'll fetch it in advance so that when the user interacts with the user interface in a way that will require that bit of content, that content has already been downloaded from the server and is available in memory in the JavaScript for the current page to be displayed, thereby eliminating any of the normal network latency that's required for service calls. It makes for a much more responsive user interface experience. So, just as a frame of reference, here's the application that we're going to build. Notice that the default state here is we have a drop-down list of athletes and a blank image. So this is the first page view of this web page. When we select an athlete, notice that we have a auto postback enabled for this drop-down list, and we display the photograph for this particular athlete. But what you don't see is that in the background, we've prefetched the stats for this athlete. So when I click on this button, two interesting things happen. One is the stats are displayed instantly with no latency would be caused normally by a call to a web method to retrieve these stats, since we've predictively fetched them. The second thing that happens here is note that the display in the button changes from get stats to get record. Since the user clicked on the get stats button and we displayed the stats, we've predictively fetched the record in advance, so that when I click on the Get Record button, notice that the record instantaneously displays because we've already fetched the record from the server. And then I can toggle back and forth, and this actual data is fetched predictively in the background by JavaScript so that it's available for display whenever the user clicks on the button. All right, so this is the application that we're going to build. So we'll go ahead and create a new website, make it an AJAX enabled website. The first thing that I need to do is I need to grab an images directory that contains the images of those athletes, and those could be stored in a database or as I've done here, in the images folder. The next thing that we need to do is we need to add a web service to return that data. So I'll create a web service called data service. And because we want this to be an AJAX callable web service, or that we actually want the web methods to be AJAX callable, we need to decorate our class with the script services attribute. And this is what we'll tell the Microsoft AJAX runtime, that we want to be able to call this from JavaScript, which means we want to generate the JavaScript proxy, callable proxies to this web service. We don't want a Hello World service. We want instead a fetch data method. Now, based on what you saw in the user interface, we can determine that there are going to be two inputs to this fetch data method. One is going to be the who, and the other is going to be the what. So we need to know who the athlete is that we're requesting data for. So we'll call that str who, and that's just going to take a string as input. And then we're going to need a what. So what data, whether it's stats or record. Next, we need a couple of local variables here to handle state and the cached data. So let's begin by adding a dim str details as string, and then let's just initialize that to an empty string, and then we'll return that after we've constructed some HTML to return back to the calling client. Now, the actual data that's going to be used to comprise the HTML could come from a database, or could come from static partial HTML, either as text files or XML files. In our case, just so that you don't have to implement a database or any sort of files collection, I'm going to just statically return some predefined HTML. So let's just look at what that is here. Right. So basically, I've got a select case here, and here's the who and here's the what. So we're saying if who is Rick Rufus, then see if the what is either stats or record. Again, for each of the three athletes, here's the one for Jeff Rufus, and again, stats and record. And here's one for Dwayne Ludwig, stats and record. And notice we just all we're returning here is a table, right? So we're returning an HTML table. And again, you probably won't do this in your application because you're going to want it to be dynamic based on what data gets populated. I'm just doing this for the sake of the demo, so you don't have to populate a database. But if we go ahead and run this web service, we can run the web service and enter the test harness, and then I can just enter a valid athlete name and a valid data type and click invoke, and you'll see what we actually get in return is an HTML table. And we'll take this HTML table and we'll insert it into the inner HTML element of a div in our page. So that's our data service, and now we can go ahead and start to program our web page itself. The first thing we need to do, of course, is we need to expand our Script Manager declaration to include a service reference. If you've been doing any programming at all with Microsoft Ajax, you understand that every ASP.NET page that's going to use MS Ajax must have one and only one instance of the Script Manager on the page. And here I'm specifying a services collection, and then providing a service reference and pointing to the resolvable endpoint for our service, which is data service asmx. All we have to do is specify the data service.asmx file name because the web service exists in our project. If it were in a different project in our solution or elsewhere on our web server, we'd need to provide a parameter to the path attribute here that was resolvable to that web service. Now I'm just going to fix Visual Studio's formatting a little bit, and now we're ready to start building out the user interface for our application here. So I'm just going to center justify our code here. And the first thing that I want to do is I want to include an ASP.NET image control, and let's give that a name of fighter photo. And then I want to provide a default image URL. So let's go and look at the images that we included. And we have this one blank fighter. All right, so that gives us sort of a default image so we don't have that missing image icon. And the next thing that I want is a drop-down list that we can use to select the athlete that we want to look at. Now, we'll drag an ASP.NET drop-down control onto the page. I'm going to enable auto postback, and I'm going to select edit items. Now, you'll probably want to use data binding and bind the list items to some data source, but in our case, just for the purposes of this demo, since we're primarily focused on demonstrating the predictive fetch pattern, I'm going to use static definitions for my list items here. And the first one is going to be just the message to select an athlete. And this is what will be displayed by default. So we're going to set selected equal to true. And I want to change the value here to be equal to none. And then the other three will be actual athlete names. So we'll say Rick Rufus and Jeff Rufus and Dwayne Ludwig, and let's put a space in there. All right, so there's our drop-down list. Now, one of the interesting things about this demo application is that we're actually going to mix server-side ASP.NET controls with client-side HTML artifacts and JavaScript. So the next thing we want to do is we want that button that the user will click on to display the prefetch data. But since that's going to result in a client-side behavior, it's not going to be a server-side button control, but it's just going to be an HTML button control. So we'll use an HTML, a client-side button. And then I'll go into source mode here, and we'll swap this up a little bit to Let's change the name here to be button more, meaning fetch more detail. And then the next thing that we're going to do is I want to define a div, and this div is going to be used to display the predictively fetched data. So when the user clicks on the More button, we're going to populate whatever we've gone out and fetched, whether it's the stats or the record. We're going to push it into a div here. So because we're going to program against it, we want to be able to access the inner HTML element of this div. So we need to give it an ID so that we can program against it. And we'll call it div details. I'm also going to add a style attribute here, and normally you would probably want to use a style attribute that is derived from an externally referenced .css file, but just so that we can see this div and its dimensions, I'm going to give it a width and a height. So, all right. So there's our dimensions, right? So this is the user interface that we're going to build against. And let's also go in and change the default value for button. And I'm going to start with get stats since that's the first state. So we're going to automatically fetch the stats in the background when the user selects an athlete. I'm going to set the value of the button to be get stats. But remember, get stats is going to toggle based on the state of the display. So hop back over into design mode. Let me just insert a break there. Now I'm going to generate a JavaScript client-side click event for this get stats button. So if I double click on it, note because it's an HTML button and not an ASP.NET button, we get client-side JavaScript. So we can go ahead and start to program the client-side behaviors that we want here. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to add a little bit of state management logic. So var current details equal none. None is the state at default. And we're going to do some string comparisons here, so I want to make sure that we are case sensitive. That's just going to be the state indicator. Then I'm also going to add a detail content, and I'm going to initialize that to an empty string, and that's going to be the predictively fetched content. So this is what we're going to take and push into the inner HTML element of the div when the user chooses that action. Now, before we go on with the JavaScript coding here, remember one of the things that we wanted to do was we wanted to display the photograph of the selected athlete, and we were doing that by using an auto postback method for the drop-down list. So in order to make that happen, we need to go into the code behind. So this is not the client-side script. This is back on the server side, and we need to create an event handler, and notice that we didn't change the name of that drop-down list to be something more meaningful. So let's change the name of the drop-down list to be DD fighter list for drop-down fighter list. Now let's go back in and select DD fighter list, and let's create an event handler for selected index changed, my snippet just needs to change the there we go. So we've just got a little case statement here that says if the current value in the drop-down list is Jeff Rufus, then select the Jeff Rufus image. If it's Rick Rufus, select the Rick Rufus image, etc. And if it's none of the known, if it's none of the known athletes, then just display the blank fighter. And that this is what will cause the image to automatically be updated. Now we can go back into our JavaScript and start to program the dynamic behavior. Now the first thing we want to do is program a page load event. Or I should say a page load event handler. All right, so this will get fired when the page loads. This is a client-side page load event. And what we're going to do here is we're going to look and see what the value of the drop-down fighter list is. And if it's anything but none, we're going to have to take some action. So if it's none, then we haven't selected a fighter yet. This is probably the first time the page is being loaded, and there's nothing to go get because we don't know who the fighter is. But if it has a value that's not none, then we're going to go and get probably the stats for the user. So this is the piece that causes the predictive fetch to take place. So we're going to say if document dot get element by ID, and what we're interested in here is the value of the dropdown. And if we're going to say if it is not equal to none, then we need to fetch something from the server. So we're going to call our service method. So let's do that in another function that we haven't defined yet, but we'll call it get details. Now let's implement that get details function. So we'll say function get details and what we'll do here is we're going to create a switch statement, and then we're going to say based on whatever the current details value is, we'll decide what we need to fetch next. So if the value of current details is none, then set current details equal to stats. All right, so if we haven't displayed anything yet, this probably means that the page just got loaded for the first time, then set current details equal to stats because that's what we need to predictively fetch. Now we'll use the magic of cut and paste here. And then we'll say if current details equal to stats, then fetch records, or fetch the athlete's record. And if it's equal to record, then fetch the stats, right? So when the page initially loads, it starts as none, and then as soon as the user selects view stats, then the state just toggles back and forth between stats and record. Now that we've determined what it is that we're going to predictively fetch, now we can go fetch the data. Now remember, this is the predictive fetch portion. So all we're going to do is fetch the data. The display doesn't change until the user clicks on the button. So what we're going to do is we're going to say return equal data service dot fetch data. And remember that data service happens to be this is actually the class name and not the file name. They happen to be the same because we've used the defaults, but this is the class and this is the method. Right? So we're going to say fetch data, and remember that we have two input parameters to our service method. The first is the who, which is the fighter, and the second is the what, which is the stat, which set of content we want to get, either stats or record. So to get the fighter, we have to look into the document object model and say document get element by ID, and we want the value of that object. Next, the what we want to fetch is the current value of current details. Now remember that this is an AJAX enabled web service that we're calling. The fetch method in our data service class is a AJAX enabled method. So this is an asynchronous call, and in addition to the input parameters to the method itself, we have to specify on complete So these are the JavaScript functions that will be called based on the respective results of our AJAX method call. So it's either on complete, on timeout, or on error. And we just need to implement each of those. So we'll say on complete, and we'll just quickly shell these out. Now remember, I'm not going to do anything fancy with the on timeout and on error. You might choose to do something that is more context appropriate for your application. So you might display some static content if there's no content return from the web service, or you might provide some diagnostics, or you might try again. So if there was something on the server-side call that was causing a delay, maybe you would give the error an error status message to the user and try that web service call again. Be up to you. In our case, we're just going to pop up an alert dialog that says what happened. Except here in onComplete, all we're going to do, and remember that this web method is the predictive fetch. So we're not actually going to show the return from our service method yet. All we're going to do is take the results, the HTML that gets returned, and put it into the detail content variable. Right. So this is the predictive fetch part. We've got this JavaScript variable here, and based on what the predictive fetch returns, we're going to put those results in the detail content variable. But we're not going to do anything with it until the button click or the on click for the button gets fired. And so for that, what we'll do is, since we've already fetched the data, all we need to do is push it into the div. So we'll say document. Get element by ID, and the ID we're looking for is div details. And in this case, we want the inner HTML element, and then we're just going to take detail content, and remember the detail content is what we got returned from our web service, which is HTML. So we just push the HTML into the div. Then we want to predictively fetch the next batch of content, right? So we call getDetails, and getDetails, since we've already used the predictively fetched content in the div details, now we can go get the next set of content that we expect the user to want to display. And then the last thing that we need to do is change the button. So remember, we want the button to display the expected next set of content. So get element by ID, and the name is button more, and we'll specify that the value is get, and then whatever the current details variable contains is what the other half of that message will be. So now let's go ahead and fire up our application. See if we have any JavaScript defects to debug. So here's our default page view. If we select an athlete, right, we get that auto page post back. And if you want to fully AJAX enable this, you might put the image control into drop down list inside an update panel. We've predictively fetched the stats, so if we click on the button, notice we get the stats and we get the state change in the button. Click that again, we get the record, and that's it. That's your first predictive fetch for AJAX implementation. Pretty easy to do using all of the programming constructs that are available in the Microsoft AJAX stack.